safety, training, and insurance. Executives of VLJ manufacturers look into their crystal balls. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. We're bringing you a final excerpt from NBAA's panel of very light jet manufacturers in Orlando. Some of the biggest questions surrounding the introduction of these aircraft deal with training, safety, and insurance. Taking on these questions in order of first appearance with moderator Mike Nichols are Mike McConnell, President and General Manager, Customer Division of Eclipse Aviation, Jack Brawley, President and CEO of AAI Incorporated, and Claudio Camilleri, VP of Market Intelligence for Embraer.
I'd like to ask all of you to, I'm going to start with you, Michael, then ask all of you to comment on issues around safety, training, insurance, which were some of the very common questions when VLJs were first announced. Well, how is this all going to be done? NBA had developed, along with several of the manufacturers, training programs, folks at FAA, VLJ, and technically advanced training guidelines, and we're in the process with our safety committee of revising that now for publication in the next several months. It's just a little sales pitch for an NBA product there, which is available for free off of our website. But Mike, I wanted to start with you because, you know, certainly there's been a lot in the media with regard to the special certification review, questions about the safety, the certification of the Eclipse 500. Then you've also commented here today that you have 255 aircraft delivered over 38,000 flight hours. So I wanted to start with you from a safety perspective, what you're seeing with training, customers are sharing about insurance and reliability of the aircraft. Then we'll open it up for the just general perspective for the rest of the panel.
Thank you. We have trained almost 450 people in the Eclipse 500. And for those of you who don't know, we have our own training program through a partner, HPA, Dallas company, that we partner with them for the 142. But we have two full motion level D simulators, two fixed base FTDs. One of them is actually a full motion simulator that will be converted to full motion. So we'll have by Q1, we'll have four level D full motion simulators. We have, again, type rated about almost 450 pilots, and we are starting the recurrent phase. So we're starting to get a lot of throughput going through. We can train today about 40 pilots a month if on the initial out of two sims. We're doing all training in the sims, and that seems to have a pretty predominant. When we first started, we were having to train in the aircraft. And frankly, it was very hard. It was very difficult for pilots. And so getting to the sim has made all the difference, and it's why sims have been used in business and general aviation for years with such a high success rate. Today, we are starting to see renewals come up on those customers that have had their airplanes for over a year. And frankly, we are blown away, just phenomenally happy, pleased with the rates. We're seeing under $20,000 an hour for hull and 10 million smooth liability. And that is much less than we thought it would be at this point. And I'm going to do a little shameless plug, and I think it's based on our training program and our success rate and our safety rate where we are today. We take very seriously. This was something we looked at when we started the company to be a core competency and take training very seriously. And so it's also a function of there haven't been many claims, whether it's in a Mustang or other aircraft, that would affect the way the underwriters are going to look, at the market, at the space. There's a misconception, and there's one thing that we've done, and I'm not sure if everybody gets this, but we've worked with the underwriters in London for over 6 years. We go there on a quarterly basis to meet with the underwriters. The brokerage community certainly has a place, has nothing to do with brokers, good, bad, indifferent, but the underwriters who make the decisions. And so we've worked with them for a little over 6 years, explaining to them our training program, our Jet Complete program, which is a total product that encompasses how you fly and operate the airplane. And then we're starting to see these flight hours and these safety rates being translated for our customers into real savings.
At this point, we are only putting our programs together, but we would expect to sign a contract with a training house to train all the, do the initial training and so forth for all the people who'd purchase our airplane. The things we've done at other times with other airplanes is to sit down with the underwriters and go through the systems of the airplane and help them understand totally what the airplane's all about. And it's always been my experience that normally, then don't have any problem insuring people, and the rates dependent upon the pilot's experience. In the beginning, when we started doing single pilot type certifications, it was a big question about whether the insurance companies were going to have a real hard time with this, and I don't think that's been true so far. So I would expect there to be no problems with insurance. It may not be as cheap as you'd like to have it, but I'm sure that most everybody who's a qualified pilot would be able to get not have any problem getting the insurance. And like I said, the training, there are so many good training houses out there today, and most of you are probably flying airplanes where you do recurrent training. We would expect one of the major houses to pick up our training and prepare people to fly the airplane.
Well, as I said, most of our customers or most of the Phenom 100s, they will be professionally operated. So this issue with insurance is, I think, it's less critical for us. In our case, we have established a joint venture for training with CAE. It's called ECTS. It's up and running. We have already started the training for mechanics and pilots. Depending on the pilot previous experience, there will be a different level of training required. But so far, so good. We haven't seen any kind of problems and haven't heard about any kind of difficulties that our customers are facing with insurance.
In a moment, we'll be back with audience questions and answers. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. We'll conclude our coverage of NBAA's VLJ panel with audience Q&A. The VLJ manufacturer executives answering the questions in order of first appearance in this segment are Rick Schrammick, CEO of Epic Aircraft; Mike McConnell, President and General Manager, Customer Division of Eclipse Aviation; Claudio Camilleri, VP of Market Intelligence for Embraer; and Jack Brawley, President and CEO of AAI Incorporated. Our moderator is Mike Nichols of NBAA.
I thought at this time we'd open it up for audience Q&A. If anybody has any questions they'd like to ask, I'll take the mic around.
On the same topic, single pilot versus two pilot operation and the insurance company. Are they going to double the amount of insurance if it's single pilot, though these aircraft are meant to be flown single pilot with the ease of the avionics and so forth, owner pilot, and also comment on the mentor program that been spoke about?
Yeah, I certainly, they're all of the VLJ or all the aircraft that I believe everybody on the panel has are certainly single pilot capable and will be and are certified that way. you know, as I said, the insurance is going to be based on the ability of the pilot. I think the training programs that are that everybody has in place, including us, we do our training in-house, and then we will ultimately go to a typical trainer from there. We are already getting reoccurrence. We've had our aircraft flying for about 4 years now in customers' hands, so we've done quite a bit of recurrent training. But we're seeing, I think that the real key is the category of aircraft and the people that the manufacturers are building very safe aircraft. And we have a pretty good record right now. And as long as we keep that, the rates will be reasonable. They're never how we want them, but reasonable.
There's a key piece that's come out of the VLJ phenomenon that has been introduced and accepted. I think it's contributing to some of the very safe introductions, and that is the mentor program. The way Eclipse operates, if you do not have a type rating, so regardless of how many hours you have, if you don't have a type rating, then you're going to probably have a mentor pilot. In fact, I believe that's mandated, whether that's 25 hours or 50 hours. And they're not meant to be an instructor. They're meant to be a mentor and walk you through decision process. And Mustang does that. We do that. I think I would encourage all VLJ manufacturers. As the concern was you're going to have it was the Bonanza Doctor syndrome from years ago. The concern was that you'd have a lot of people operating in Class A airspace that had never operated. They didn't understand or didn't have experience with descents and making sure that they're following ATC instructions to be at a certain intersection. I need you to hold 280 in the descent and be at this intersection 16 miles out. Two things. Today you go bink and the airplane does it for you. The other, you still must be able to demonstrate that. And the other component, when you get a type rating, if it's your first one, you're held to ATP standards. And so the ability to fly in instrument conditions, to fly in the system, to fly in Class A, the mentor pilots, you may be able to get through and do fine and get a type rating. We don't push people through. But the mentor program, I think, is one that is really starting to pay those dividends and be seen. And our customers haven't pushed back on it. They haven't said, I don't want anybody in the cockpit with me. They're very open to it. They embrace that safety aspect. So I think we'll look back on this in many years and say that had a much bigger effect than we thought.
Other questions?
I know this isn't the air taxi panel, but I'm just wondering how big do you see? I mean, DayJet had its problems, obviously, getting the market, you know, making it work financially. How big do you see an air taxi market getting? Or I think I'm hearing that maybe it's a changing market with more charter, but what do you foresee?
Claudio Embraer does two forecasts. They do one with and one without.
Yep.
So, all of our forecasts assume an air taxi market. That just says that we are bullish on it. Embraer looks at it in a very pragmatic way, and they do it both with and without. And I think, didn't you guys come up with 3,500 for the next 10 years? Is that right, Claudio?
Yeah, it's about that. We as Michael said, we do two separate forecasts, one for the traditional business models, so charters and corporations, private owners, high net worth individuals. Our forecast shows about 3,400 airplanes in 10 years in this class. When we look at the new business models, air taxi companies and the branded charter companies, we forecast our current forecast that we issued at the end of last year, actually, was showing up somewhere between 3,500 to 4,400 airplanes on top of those 3,400 that I mentioned on traditional business models. Of course, what will happen now is we are looking at the market scenario, all this financial crisis and so on. So we believe that the financing for these new startup companies will be more difficult. It will be more difficult to find people willing to invest on these corporations. So it will come eventually, because as I said, we do believe in the business model, but it may come slower than we were expecting.
I have two questions, one for Eclipse and one for the other three gentlemen. Mike, what's your experience been with the effectiveness of the AFM training limitation that requires people to conform to Eclipse's training process? And then for the other three gentlemen, have any of you contemplated using that AFM training limitation as a way to ensure compliance with training doctrine and safety protocols?
What's happening is that we had a very unique AFM limitation that said in order to fly the airplane, you had to go through an approved OEM-type flight training program. And that was meant in the most strictest of ways to create a safe introduction to service and safe operations for as long as we could control that. We made a very conscious decision not to go for a number of reasons, not that the other training organizations are bad or do not do a good job. Quite the contrary, they do a great job. They do a fabulous job. We wanted to control a bit more of it. So the idea of how this is being played out, I applaud people trying to start business and win business. You don't want to discourage people from starting and winning business. However, the way the regulations state, we worked very hard to have this piece in line with our philosophies of training. And so we're asking for a little help, and we may have received it.
I had a question for Eclipse and maybe the other gentleman, but seeming that the air taxi is such a big part of your market forecast, what would you say that DayJet had its problems and that actually the costs were too great, the pricing was too high to get the volume they wanted, and that the air taxi market in the future is really going to be for a single engine aircraft operated by a single pilot for the 300 to 500 mile trip? Would you say that that type of aircraft is going to pick up the market versus the twin-engine aircraft?
That's a really good question. I think the in the 135 operator, to me, I would still look at the twin market. I think very typically, if you're looking at the person that's either buying the per seat mile or paying for the aircraft or whatever, they're much more comfortable if they're not aviation people in a twin aircraft. I really don't see the single engines, although a single engine turboprop seems to do reasonably well in some market areas as being a very cost effective way to do 135 operations. There's a few TBM operators, and there's a few Pilatus operators. I'm going to stick with the twin. I wouldn't want to build a market case on a single engine.
DayJet publicly indicated that what happened to them recently was about the capital markets. And so I'm not going to go into why they're not around anymore or not. I'm just going to let them speak for themselves and say that's what they say. And I believe it. I think it is more difficult to raise money in today's capital markets. That's absolutely true. The idea, you know, Steve Hanvey of Sats Air is doing a nice job of introducing people with a Cirrus product to charter. And he's showing that people will fly in that type of an aircraft. I don't know if long term, if that's, you know, the way to go, or he also bought a bunch of Cirrus jets as well. So he thinks that he can move into, again, that turbinization of general aviation. There are guys, Plane Sense up in New Hampshire, that's operating Pilatuses. They're doing a nice job. Bill Herp with Linear is using caravans and has proved the idea of city pairs with caravans going out to the to Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. So there's certainly a market for that, but from a true growth standpoint, I don't see the growth opportunities just with those singles at the same level you would find with twin-engine turbofan aircraft, but that's our belief, and we happen to build a twin-engine turbofan aircraft.
I think we feel like we're an OEM airframer, and we want to supply the airframe you want to buy. We're certainly not air taxi operators, and so some of these people have to look and decide what they think is best for their business and go forward. I know in the old days with the commuters, some of the commuters started off with single engine airplanes, and after they had a failure or two, they decided they just had to have twins. And the air taxi guys may or may not come to the same conclusion. Steve's a very good friend of mine, worked for me for years. He's doing very well with single engine piston powered airplanes. I think everybody's watching him too, trying to figure it out. But other than that, I'd be surprised if a lot of the air taxis went with single engines. But there'll be some for sure.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate your time. I know it's a busy few days for you at the show, and taking 90 minutes out of your schedule to come up here is greatly appreciated from NBA, and I'm sure from the audience as well. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
We can at least predict with certainty that given the introductions of all these competing aircraft and the economic outlook, we will be living in interesting times. This concludes our coverage of NBAA's VLJ panel. You can find more on each of these companies from links in the data block which accompanied this AeroCast. You've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.